Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Luke? Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Last night, our brother has already read this whole section, so I'm not going to go over it again, but I will just read verse 13 in a different version. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade while I am coming. Trade while I'm coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we gathered here this morning, we want to thank Thee for all Thy kindness and mercy towards us. Who are we that Thou should treat it in such a way? That Thou should gather us together and give us opportunity to hear Thy word, to commune with Thee, to give ourselves to Thee, and allow Thee to work out Thy glorious salvation to the praise of Thy name. Lord, as we gather this morning, we do submit ourselves to Thee completely and say, Lord, here we are. What hast Thou to say to us? Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. We ask in Thy name. Amen. The theme of this conference is be occupied till I come. Or as David's version said, trade while I'm coming. I think it's more vivid in this translation. What are we to be occupied with? Trading. Why? Because he is coming. Brothers and sisters, I think we all are aware that the coming of the Lord is so imminent. Everything seems to tell us the world has come to an end. And the Lord is coming to establish His kingdom upon this earth. What a glad tidings that is. His coming is what we are all expecting. To me, I always think the Lord can come back at any time. We do not need to wait for some more prophecies to be fulfilled. For as we understand, all the prophecies preceding the coming of the Lord have already come to pass. The next thing is the coming of the Lord. And we are at this very juncture. On the one hand, it is most thrilling thinking that we may be ones who will be caught up to the throne to welcome the return of our Lord. And on the other hand, it is a very solemn thing. What if you come, if he comes now? Can all of us be caught up to the throne, or some will be left? So I think as we are at this time, it is really a serious time for us to seriously consider what the Lord has said. Trade. For I am coming. our Lord was going to Jerusalem for the last time. And even his disciples thought he was going to take the kingdom. So our Lord tried to tell them the truth. It is true that he is going to take the kingdom, but not this time, because he's going to Jerusalem to die, to accomplish the work of redemption, to lay the foundation of the church for his imminent return. So the Lord used a parable. He said, a certain highborn man went to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. Now, of course, we know this has a background, because during the time of our Lord, while he was on earth, he was under the Roman Empire. And it was the practice in the Roman Empire that people would go to Rome to get the kingdom and then to return and rule over his domain. But here you find the Lord using the parable. He is the highborn man, because he is the Son of God, as well as the Son of Man. And he is now returning to heaven to receive from his Father the kingdom, not of this world, but kingdom of the heavens. Before our Lord left, he called his 10 bond servants to him. Brothers and sisters, in one sense, we are all his bond servants. It is true so far as grace is concerned. We are his children, being born by the Spirit of God. But as children of God, we also have responsibilities. So far as our responsibility is concerned, we are all bond servants of God. And as his bond servant, he gave each and every one of us a mina. Now we know there is a difference between mina and talent. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, our Lord Jesus told us the story about giving talents to his bond servants according to their ability. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2 talents, and to still another one, alone 1 talent. He gave these talents according to their ability, natural ability. But here you'll find 10 servants, and they were all given 1 mina. They were equal in what the Lord has given. Why? Because talent in Matthew 25 and mina in Luke 19, they are different. Talent speaks of spiritual gifts. To every servant of the Lord, every brother and sister, everyone who is born again, he has given us some gift. Just as in the body, you find when God created this body, to every member of the body, he has given some gift. He created me with an eye, and to that eye, he gave the gift of seeing. Every member in the body of Christ, when you are saved, you are being given a certain spiritual gift according to the place that God has put you in the body, so that you can exercise your gift, not for your own glory, but for the growth of the whole body. So we find every brother and sister, when you are saved, you are given a gift according to your ability, according to the place that God has given you. It is not for yourself. It is for the whole body. Now that is talents. But in minor, you find that there are 10 servants. And they were all given one minor, the same. Why the number 10? The number 10 is a number of responsibility. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we think that in believing in the Lord Jesus, it is all grace, no responsibility. But that is not true. Because on the one hand, it is grace. But grace does not allow us to be irresponsible. Grace actually helps us to be responsible. And they are given equally. Why? Because minor here does not speak of our gifts. It speaks of our life. Even though we may have different gifts, but the life given to us is the same. Christ is our life. But when Christ is given to each and every one of us, and we are being born again, remember, so far as our spiritual life is concerned, we are just babes. We are not like Adam. When he was created, he was a grown up. But when we who are saved, we were all children of God. Why? Because the life of Christ in us is just the beginning. It is the will of God that this life that God has given to us, even Christ in us, is the hope of glory. In other words, this life of Christ in us must grow in us. Or put it another way, we must grow into Christ and allow the life of Christ to be fully grown. And it is only after we are fully grown that he will come back and receive us as his bride. So in this parable, it is not talking about spiritual gifts. It is talking about spiritual life. We are all given the same life of our Lord Jesus. But this life needs to be traded. In other words, it needs to be exercised. And when you exercise your spiritual life, then your spiritual life will grow up. If you do not exercise it, do not trade with it, as that bad servant, he put it in a tower. He did not do anything to the life that the master has given him. And the result was, his life does not grow. When our Lord Jesus has come back, he is still a babe in Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is a parable that exhorts each and every one of us to exercise the life that Christ has given us. You know, brothers and sisters, in recent years, we find physical exercise has attracted the attention of this country. Everywhere you go, you find people was running or either exercising. Even in a hotel, they have to have that exercise room to make provision for you to exercise while you are outside. And the Bible said, physical exercise has little profit. In other words, it does has profit. Young people in this country spend so much time before the television or others, they do not exercise. Even if you eat well, you will not have a healthy body. We need physical exercise. But physical exercise profits little. Why? Because the major profit is your body. Your body, of course, become healthy. And with a healthy body, then you have a healthy mind. So it does affect somehow. But essentially speaking, it is only your body that has the largest benefit. And how long will you have this benefit? Suppose to live to 100 years old. 120. It's only 100 years, 120 years. It's not eternity. So it profits little. Now it doesn't mean because it profits little, so you don't do it. Even that little, you have to do it. But brothers and sisters, there is another exercise. It is exercise unto godliness. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, exercise unto piety. Now, I do not like the word piety, but somehow, in my mind, piety is just something outside. I remember once I was in the Philippines. I went to an island called Dagada. And when I was in that island, I saw a cathedral. So I went in to look at it. And when I entered into the cathedral, I saw four white statues kneeling at the altar, not moving at all. But when I approached to the front, I saw these are not statues. These are nuns. Four nuns kneeling at the altar without any motion. The first thought that came to me was, how pious they are. Then the second thought came. It is really godliness. Godliness comes from the inside. And it is true that it will be expressed outside. But without the inside, only the outside, this is not godliness. This is not an expression of the life of Christ in you. So, brothers and sisters, we need to exercise godliness. May I ask you this question? Do you know what spiritual exercise really is? Have you ever exercised your spirit? I suppose you all know that after you believe in the Lord Jesus, you receive a new spirit. The old spirit that God has created was dead in sins and transgressions. And death does not mean that as an organ it was no longer there. You know, to an unbeliever, even if they live by their soul or by their body, because their spirit was dead unto God. And yet, strangely, they still can communicate with evil spirits. You may not know it, but I came from China. And in these old countries, you find that people have communication with evil spirits everywhere, but they have no contact with God. Why? Because they were dead unto God. So scientifically speaking, what is death? Death is the cessation of communication with its proper environment. What is the proper environment of our spirit? God. God is spirit. He created us with a spirit that we may communicate with him. You cannot communicate with God in your body. You know, many years ago, the Russian astronauts, cosmonauts, they went to the space, came back, and he said, there is no God. Why? Because he said, I've been to outer space. I look around, I do not see God anywhere. So there is no God. Nonsense. How can you contact God with your body? You have to contact God with your spirit. But his spirit was dead. There was no contact with the proper environment. It has contact with improper environment, but not with proper environment. That is God himself. But thank God, I believe you all have this experience. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus, you know what happened? Suddenly, that contact was made. I can vividly remember my own experience. I was brought up in a Christian family. I used to pray. I knew how to pray. But I was praying to the ceiling and the prayer fell down. No contact. But the moment I really repented and returned to the Lord, you know what happened? Heaven opens. immediately in my spirit, I had contact with God. I can truly say from my heart, Abba Father. It's different. And I believe every one of you have this experience. So brothers and sisters, thank God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, He has given you a new spirit. In other words, He has cleansed your sins and give you a new spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So your spirit is born again, is renewed. And now Christ has come and dwell in your spirit. That is being saved. Brothers and sisters, when you are saved, God has given you every provision for you to exercise your spirit. How? Because not only Christ has come into your new spirit and become the life of your new spirit, but you know God has also given you His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, He has also come and dwell in your new spirit. He is the new comforter. He is there to take care of you. In what way? Brothers and sisters, He is there to help you to exercise your spirit. Why? Because He does know. Not only arrange your outside environment. Now we do believe. To a believer, there is no such thing as by chance. To a believer, everything that happens to you is arranged by the Spirit of God. We call it the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will arrange your environment, the people you meet with, the thing you encounter, everything, every detail in your life is arranged by the Holy Spirit. In order to discipline you, in order to teach you, in order to develop you, so that you can really grow in the life of Christ in you. So, brothers and sisters, in 1 Timothy 4:8, he said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Why? Because it is profitable, not only for this time, this age, but also for the age to come. Brothers and sisters, may I ask you, look back into your experience. Has the Holy Spirit ever spoken to you? Have you ever heard His voice? It is not something from outside. It is something from within. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible says you have the anointing within you, or the ointment within you. Now, who is the anointing? Who is the ointment within you? The Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He is called the anointing because when He works in you, it is like you're applying upon yourself an ointment. Suppose you hurt yourself somewhere, and you put an ointment over it, and there is a soothing feeling within you. Now that is the way the Holy Spirit works. He does not come like a great mighty wind that blows. He does not come like a fire that is burning. He comes as a still, small voice. He will speak to you, but he's very persistent. He will not allow you to go until you respond, one way or the other. And through that, he is teaching you how to exercise your spirit. For instance, after you are saved, suppose you are a person that likes to talk extravagantly. You like to say things about what they really are. And the more you boast about things, the better you feel. That's the way you were before you are saved. But after you are saved, you will do the same thing, because all habit is not easy to die. But strangely, as you begin to boast and to exaggerate, while you are doing that, there is a still small voice within you saying that that's not true. You better stop. Like when you are driving a car and a brake is put on. But no, brothers and sisters, we were still going on. But the voice will not go away. And if you persist in doing that, you do not feel good as you did before. Actually, you feel very bad. And unless you repent and ask for the cleansing of the blood, you find your fellowship with God was interrupted. Do you have this experience? I believe so. If you never have such experience, I wonder whether you are really saved, whether you really have the Holy Spirit dwells in you. How can he dwell in you and not doing his work to let Christ's life grow in you? So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, you have the unction, the anointing within you. You do not need anyone to teach you, because he will teach you in all things. Not only in big things, but also in small things. Now, brothers and sisters, we think we can take care of small things. And only when we are faced with big things that we need to pray and seek the will of the Lord. But no, God loves us so much. He loves your every detail. He wants to be involved with you. And even in very small things, he has his voice. If we are quiet enough to listen. The reason why people sometimes come to me and said, brother, you people often talk about God speaks to me, but God has never spoken to me. Now, I think it's very strange. If God has never spoken to me, Now, are you really his? If you are really his, how can he neglect you? He will take care of you. He will see that the life of Christ in you will grow up into maturity. He will not let you go free. Why? Because he loves you. He has to lead you on so that your spirit, the life of Christ in your spirit, will grow into maturity. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to Timothy, he told him that's what he is doing. And if that's the case, do you think, brothers and sisters, that we are not trading, occupied, while Christ is coming? Why is it that the Lord said, trade while I'm coming? Why is it that we must grow spiritually in the stature of Christ in us before he will return? Why? Because he cannot marry a baby. Have you ever seen a grown-up man marry a baby? Never. It's unfit. How important it is that we exercise our spirit. You know, our spirit has three functions. Number one, conscience. Conscience is one of the functions of our spirit. But unfortunately, before we believe in the Lord Jesus, our conscience has lost its proper environment. That is God. The conscience that people have today, we often hear people say, I do everything according to my conscience. You can rob and say that I do it according to my conscience. Why? Because a conscience of an unbeliever is measured not by God, is measured by custom and habit. In the old days, when an African ate another person, did his conscience bother him? No, his conscience praised him. Why? Because his conscience was not governed by the proper environment. But for you and me to eat another people, now how will you feel? You feel bad about it. Why? Because God is now your conscience. He is telling you what is right, what is wrong. Paul, when he was before the governor, he can declare that in everything, before God and man, he kept a good conscience. Do not throw away your conscience, because your conscience now is the voice of God. Formerly, your conscience was in sin and transgressions, but now you have a new conscience. And it is for every believer to keep a conscience without offense before God and before man. Sometimes we find the Lord seems to disturb us, and he will never let us go. until we solve a problem that we know we shouldn't have. So conscience is an important thing to be exercised. Now you do not need to search your conscience by yourself. Many years ago, there was something going on in this country, and people said, well, you need to search your conscience and confess everything from your childhood up to the time. Confess it before the Lord and have it cleansed by the blood. Brothers and sisters, you don't do that. If you do that, you will be under condemnation all the time. In China, when, I don't know if you know this name, moral rearmament, there was a time when this teaching spreading over the world, it came to China, and it touched especially the upper class, because they speak of absolute. You need to be absolutely clean, absolutely conscious without void, and all these things. And there was a famous Christian in China. He was in my father's rank. And during the wartime, we were all in war capital, Chongqing. And he talked with me. And he said, whenever I'm weak physically, all my past sins will come back to me. I have to confess everything once again. So I told him, I said, no, you don't need to do that, because all your past sins has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And if it's under the blood, it's no longer there. It is the enemy trying to bring all this back to you, to bother you. But no matter what I said, he was not helped. Think of that, a life under constant accusation. Now, how can you live a victorious life that way? So, dear brothers and sisters, I strongly urge you, when the Spirit of God is touching your conscience. Now, that's the thing. When the enemy try to accuse you, he will come like a whirlwind. He will try to press you down. He give you no quarter to hide. But when the Holy Spirit is working in you, it is a still, small voice. It is persistent, but it is quiet, speaking to your conscience. So to a Christian, you need to exercise your conscience. If in some way the Spirit of God is speaking to your conscience, bring it to the Lord. Just like the Bible said, He will teach you in all things, not only big things, but even small things. And if you abide in His teaching, you abide in Christ. You know, once I asked some young people, how can you abide in Christ? And they gave me different answers. Some said, you need to pray more in order to abide in Christ. Others said, you need to read the Bible more. Others say, you need to attend the meetings more, and so forth. But brothers and sisters, the real secret is, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit in you. That's what you need to do. And if you really listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will purify you and allow you to grow spiritually. Now the next thing is, how do you exercise your spirit? Your spirit has another function. We call it intuition. Now, what is intuition? Intuition is direct knowledge. How do we gather knowledge? We gather knowledge with our brain, with our mind. We gather them from outside. And the more knowledge you gather from outside, the more knowledgeable you are. Now that's the world. But how do we know God? We know God not just by collecting mental knowledge. That's mental exercise. That is not spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise is intuitive. If you are in touch with God, the Holy Spirit within you will touch your intuition and give you a direct knowledge from God. In other words, you begin to see things even if you cannot explain it. So you find in Hebrews chapter 8, one article of the new covenant is, you do not need to tell anyone, know the Lord, because every one of you shall know me from the littlest one to the greatest one. Now that's intuition. Christianity has gone the wrong way. It has gone the way outside. After you believe in the Lord Jesus, they will tell you what you should do and what you should not do. And you, if you keep these things, you are considered as a good Christian. I remember when I was young, I was brought up in a Christian family. We keep Sunday, the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, we shouldn't do any work. And I was a student at that time. And the one thing that I dread most was examination on Monday, because I cannot read on Sunday. I kept it. But you cannot just be doing nothing. So what I need to do? I play ball. You see the absurdity of it? Keeping law, people will tell you what you should do. And if you do them, you are a good Christian. But that is the outside way. It is not God's way. God's way is inward. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal God's mind to you in your spirit. If you are quiet enough, He will speak to you. He will tell you what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. And it is by intuition that we grow in Christ Jesus. Once you are saved, you are a little child. That spiritual intuition will begin to work. You know, as a matter of fact, children live by intuition. Not spiritual, but still, it is intuition. Sometimes, you know, a child will go to a certain person, but he will shy away from other person. Intuitively, he knows something. And the moment we grow old, intuition began to decrease, and mental knowledge began to increase. So we are no longer living by intuition, but we live by our mind. Brothers and sisters, you do not need anyone to tell you, because the Holy Spirit within you will touch your intuition and allow you to know His will. And that's the way we grow. That's the way we serve God. And thirdly, the function of our spirit is worship. After we believe in the Lord Jesus, our spirit is living unto God. And we worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship is not an outward gesture. Worship is an inward spirit. But of course, when there is that inward spirit, that the outward gesture will naturally follow. But it depends not upon outward gesture. How sad that Christianity today is mainly outward gesture, instead of that inward fellowship with God. So, dear brothers and sisters, if we really exercise our spirit, the result is our inner man, that is the Christ in us, will grow into maturity. And that's the way to really know God. So, dear brothers and sisters, this morning, my burden is simply this. God has saved you. He has made every provision for you to grow spiritually. But you need to cooperate. You need to exercise it. You need to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, to talk with you. You need to be near to Him so that you can hear. You need to be quiet so that you can hear. And remember, Christian way is an inward way of life. It is not an outward thing. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast not only saved us, but Thou wants to save us to the uttermost. How we thank Thee for the full salvation Thou hast prepared for Thy people. Do open our understanding. Bring us back to the original work of God. Pray, Lord, that Thou will really teach us how to exercise our spirit and learn to obey Thee in an inward way, that we may really see that the life of Christ grows within us and prepare us to meet Thee and to be Thy bride. We ask in Thy precious name.